Tonight's shiur, Parshas Vayishlach, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh, Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. The Sedra starts out, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav, Mechule, sending to Esav. Yitzavos Samle Mor, Kosam Run La Aduni Leesav, he tells the Shlichim to say the following to Esav, Koamar Avdecha Yaakov, Im Laban Garti Vechara Adata. That I lived with Lavan, Garti ve'acharadata. I've been hanging around till now. So Rashi gives two pshatim, and what is im Lavan Garti? The first pshat he says, lashon ger. Garti lashon ger, he was like a sojourner, not settled. Right? Lo nasesi sarva chashuv ela ger. He was telling Esav, you know, I didn't become anybody chashuv, you know, when I was by Lavan. I didn't become a sarva chashuv. I was simply a ger. Lashon garti. Simply a ger. So therefore, incha kadai lisnoosi al bircha zavicha sheberchani have a gvir lachecha. And therefore, you don't have to be upset at me, Esav, you know, that I took the brachas, because nothing came of it, right? Our father gave us a bracha, and a gvir lachet, which would be a master over your brother, a gvir. But you see, it wasn't fulfilled in me. So the Gan Rava says a cute thing. Says that, he said, Yaakov was saying, I didn't become a sar chashuv, I was just a ger. Meaning I got the bracha of what? That you should be a gvir lachecha. How do you spell gvir? Gimel bet yud resh. Right? I have the bracha to be a gvir, gimel bet yud resh. But I was not. I was only a ger. Meaning just the first and last letter of gvir, gimel resh. I was just a ger. Meaning that the bracha of having gvir was not niskaima b. The middle letters of gvir is bet yud. Lo niskaima b. Just the gimel and the resh of gvir, the ger, but lo niskaima b. The bet and the yud, the middle of gvir, that was wasn't fulfilled. It says another pshat. Rashi says davar acher garti in gematria is taryag. Kolomar im lavan garti v'taryag mitzvah shamarti v'lo lamati ma'asei marayim. It's not a here, I don't have an answer to it. I heard Rav Levinstein once say, he says, it's a little funny, Rashi says that the Taryag in Gematria, that Garti in Gematria is Taryag. So it's what's funny? Because you don't have to give a Gematria of the same letters. Taryag is Garti is the same letters. The Gematria is you have different words that happen to have the same numerical value. But if it's exactly the same letter, you don't say it's a Gematria, you say it's the same letters. Anyways, so he said that, telling Esav that I was with Lavan, Levan Garti, but therefore Garti is Taryag. Taryag is Shamarti, but Lamati Maisim Yarayim. I didn't learn from his evil way. So they ask Ramir Shapiro, his famous word. He says, Lachura, why did he have to add that? He says, I kept the whole Torah, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. So of course, I didn't learn from his evil ways. What do you have to add that? So he says that no, he was giving himself self criticism. He says, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, however, you know, still, I didn't learn from Lavan's bad ways. Meaning, the way Lavan would do veras with such, you know, mesiris nefesh, and with so much gusto, I wasn't alavide that I should do mitzvahs like that. I didn't learn from the way he did his bad ways, the way he did bad things, I didn't learn from his bad ways to do good things. That's what his self-criticism. Time I see this board, it reminds me of during the Intifada here. So the Arabs were causing us a lot of problems. And once I was driving on the road down here, and I see a guy stopped in front of me, out of his car, with like a helmet on or whatever. And I stopped and I said, what's going on? So he said, I'm cleaning up the road. The Arabs threw nails on the road, you know, to try to give people flat tires. So I said, oh yeah, so I was, you know, looking, and it wasn't just pushing the nails. You know, nail, because why? You run over a nail, probably not going to happen. These were called, I think they call them ninju stars or something. They see these big nails, they would take the nails and bend them, you know, like three ways to make it like stand up. You know, so it's not just like kind of flat, but it would actually stand up. So when you run over, it'll mummish go into your tires. You know, so I took one of these nails home with me, and I think I still have it somewhere. Because lo lamadti mimaaseh harayim. Every time I look at this, I said, can you imagine how much mesiris nefesh they put in to do bad. Take these nails, each one at a time, and bend it in this way, and that way, just to go into a tower. Say, wow, what mesiris nefesh to do a veris. Like, alavai, I should have such a mesiris nefesh in mitzvahs. So they ask that, how was it though? How could it be that Yaakov Avinu was by Laban Arasha for like 20 years, and he didn't learn Lolimati Maizimar, he didn't, Karik Mitzvah Shamarti. How could it be that he wasn't Mushfa, he wasn't influenced from Laban after all those years? So they give a couple answers. One answer they say is, Nachanami, that's why he was 14 years in yeshiva beforehand. Had he not been, who knows if he would have been influenced. But 14 years in yeshiva gave him the koach to withstand love. They give another cute answer. Says, you go to a farm, okay? And you're, taking a little tool with your kids, seeing the animal. And you see a guy working in the, with the cows, And yeah, you see, this guy's like an older fellow, whatever, he's working, So you say, excuse me, looks like you're an older man, you've been working a long time with these cows? And he goes, yeah, I've been here working 20 years with these cows. 20 years working with cows? He goes, yeah. He says, well, so I got a kasha for you. He says, what? He says, I don't understand. How come you don't say moo? He says, 20 years with the cows and you don't say moo? I says, how could that be? So it's not a kasha. Why? It's a cow. You can work 50 years with a cow. You're not going to say, start speaking like a cow just because you're working with a cow. I'm amazed at that same thing. Yaakov Avinu looked at Lavan like a chamor, whatever. He says, you can be with him as many years. That's not going to influence him. Right? And that's what he says. Im Lavan Garti, right after that, what does the next pasuk say? It says, Vayihi li shor v'chamor. I looked at Lavan like a shor v'chamor. Right? That didn't affect me. It was an animal. What? Says pasuk ches, Lamed Beis pasuk ches. It says vayira Yaakov meod veyetzerlo. So Yaakov was feared veyetzerlo. He was distressed. So what's the double lashon? So Rashi says vayira veyetzer vayira. Why was he scared about Shema yehareg? He was scared he was going to get killed. And veyetzerlo im yarog es acherim. And he was distressed because he might kill others. Simple pshat. So they ask, Vishlama, I can understand, doesn't want to get killed. Okay, understand. He was scared, he didn't want to get killed. Fine. But what was he so upset about that he might have to kill others? Who was he killing over here? Some tzaddik he was killing, Esav or whatever. Why was he worried that the stress, I might have to kill him? It's a mitzvah. Guy's coming to attack you with his 400 men, or it's a mitzvah to get up early and kill him. So I have to be worried to do the mitzvah. What was he upset about? So kshupshat based on Gemara in Gittin, daf nun vav amud aleph, the famous Gemara with Nir and Kesar, when he was coming to destroy Yerushalayim. So he wanted to test things out, see if he was, supposed to really be doing this. So like Morris says, he shot an arrow one direction to land in Yerushalayim. He said another direction, all four directions, wherever he shot the arrow, landed in Yerushalayim. So he said, okay, it looks probably like it's meant to be that I should destroy Yerushalayim. However, one last test, just to see. So he pulls over a kid, a cheder kid, and he says, Psochli psukeke, tell me, what pasuk are you learning? So the kid quotes the pasuk, V'natati nikmasi be'edom b'yadam Yisrael. The Hashem says that I'm going to take my revenge on Edom when they for what they did to my children, my Am Yisrael. So when Nir and Kesar heard that, says the Gemara, he said, "Uh-oh, what does that mean? If I destroy Yerushalayim, Hashem's going to take revenge on me, and I'm going to be in big trouble." So what did he do? Says the Gemara, he decided he was going to miskayer. He became a ger, and says the Gemara, and from him came out Rabbi Meir. Meir came out from him. So Mela now is very nice. We ask, why was Yaakov worried about killing Esav? The Teretz is because he knew this, that from Esav is Edom, right? That if he ends up killing Esav, what's going to be? Could be in the future, is going to be no Nair and Kesar. It's from Edom, and no Nair and Kesar means no Rabbi Meir. So he didn't want to kill him because he's worried about Rabbi Meir. And to add to it, what did Rashi say? He said, "V'yira Shema v'yitzalo im yareg hu es acherim." For those of you who've learned Maseches Horias, know that who is acherim in Shas? Rabbi Meir. So therefore, that's what he was worried about. Shema Yarog is Achirim. He's worried he's going to kill Rabbi Meir. By killing Esav, in the end, Rabbi Meir is not going to come in. Another pshat, they say, why he's worried about killing Esav is because of Rivka's prophecy. Rivka prophesied, she said, Lameshkol gam shneichem yom echad, that she had a prophecy that both sons were going to die on the same day. Asameila, and very good, very simple. Why was Yaakov worried about killing Esav? He said, if I kill Esav, I'm going to die the same day. So I don't want to kill Esav. There's a famous gra using that to also explain another thing. It says in the Pasuk Tes, Im yavo Esav, Chreva Yomer, Im yavo Esav el ha-machana achas v'ikau. So he broke the camp into two camps. And he said, this way, if Esav will come to one camp and strike it, but ya machana nishar lifleta, then the other one will be free. So they asked the Kasha, how did he know that? Well, it was impossible for Esav to destroy one camp and to go to the other and destroy the other camp. How did he know that if he destroys one camp, then the other camp will go free? Love Dafka. So the Gra says, based on what we said, this nevuah that Rivka had, that Esav and Yaakov are going to die the same day. And Mele, Yaakov says, okay, here's the plan. We'll go into two camps. I'll go into the first camp, and we'll split the camps up a day's journey apart. So Mele, I'll go in the first camp. If we're successful, good. If we're not, and Esav Chas V'Shalom kills us, so then Mele, he's going to have to die the same day. Okay? Meaning, all I have to do is put the second camp a day, more than a day's journey away, so that by the time he gets there, he'll be dead, because he's going to die the same day. Mele, that's how he knew that the second machane will be, Lifleita will be saved, because of this nevuah. It says, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Yaakov Inu said, Katonti mikol ha-chasadim, mikol ha-emes, that saying I'm a katan, I'm a nothing, I don't deserve all of this. And the Rashi says even more specific, nitmatu zchuyosai, maybe because of all the chasadim Hashem you did, maybe I don't have so many zchuyos anymore. And lachachanir, that's why I'm scared. Shema mishayiftachtachti, since once you gave me, even though you gave me a promise, so maybe nislachlachti becheith, maybe I did a nevera, chet, v'yigromli, nimaser b'yad Esav, that would cause me to be sent in the hands of Esav. So there's another famous gra, the Gemara in Sota, and Daf Hey. Gemara says, Amar Bichia Barashi Amar Rav, Talmid Chacham Tzarich Shehei Bo Echad Mishmone B'Shminis Gaiva. That a Talmid Chacham has to have an eighth of an eighth of Gaiva, eighth of an eighth, which is 1/64. So why didn't the Gemara just say 1/64? So says the gra, there's a hint from our Sedra. Why? This Sedra. Vayishlach is what number from the beginning of Bereishis? Number 8, right? And the 8th pasuk starts on pasuk Dalet. The 8th pasuk is this pasuk of Katonti Mikol HaChasadim. So therefore, the 8th of the 8th is the 8th parsha. 8th pasuk is a hint of the humility of Yaakov Inu. Katonti Mikol HaChasadim. The inyan of gaiva is not anybody and everybody has the you know nisayin of gaiva. Reuven Karelin in Shlita brings the mashal. He says there was once in olden days, I'm sure before your time, the way they collected garbage. Now it says it's automatic. You have these garbage trucks and they put the thing on the back and it picks it up there and dumps everything. Everything's automatic. But in the old days, it didn't work that way. You had two people, besides the driver, this one big, garbage truck, big container, right? And they pull up to the garbage cans, and one guy was standing on the street, picking up the garbage cans. Another guy was standing on top in the garbage, lifnai v'lifnim, okay? And the guy on the, with his big boots, and the guy on the bottom would take the garbage and throw up the can, and the top guy would empty up, empty into the container where he's standing. So anyway, this garbage truck pulls up, you know, Mea Sharim, and of course this is like the hit of the day, you know, the kids are waiting for this, you know, the garbage truck coming, you know. So the garbage truck pulls up, all the kids gathering around and watching, and the guy's down below, you know, taking the can, he goes, whoop, throws up the can, and the guy grabs it, catches it, dumps it in, and sends it down again, next one, whoop, right. So the guy down there, he's working really hard, you know, throwing up all these cans, and on top, he's just emptying it. Anyway, so the guy on top, anyway, so the guy in the bottom over there with the kids, and he's watching the kids' faces, and he says, listen, kids, you know, you think I couldn't be up there? I could be up there just like him. I'm still looking for cover, that's all. Okay. Anyway, so we said that Rashi brought down, that he said, Rakovinu said, Katonti, he said, you know, he was worried that maybe, you know, he did a chet, and because of that, that even though Kosh Baruch Hu gave him a promise, that maybe the promise is not going to be fulfilled since he was blemished it with the chet. So the maisa with the Rebbe Mivishnitz, that once Chassin came to him and said, Rebbe, you know, I haven't had children many years, can you please give me a bracha? So the bracha said, right, Rebbe said, fine, give me a bracha that this year you'll have a son. Okay? Happens, unlike most stories like this, you know, and then a year later he had a son. No, this story didn't have a son. So he comes back to the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, what happened to your promise? You promised me a son and no son. So the Rebbe said, listen, he said, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu a promise. He also, whatever, he gave him a promise. What did he do? He was, even though he had a promise from Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu, we still worried, maybe, Shema Yigrom Achet, maybe I did something wrong and I'm not going to deserve to have the promise kept. So the Rebbe said to the Chassid, listen, between you and me, he says, I'm not God, okay, and you're not Yaakov Avinu, okay? If Yaakov Avinu was worried, Shema Yigrom Achet, you know, maybe there's, you can be, you know, should be choshesh a little bit, something, maybe. There's the beautiful story brings out this, what's the significance, what is chet, what does it mean to be a yirei chet, like Yaakov Avinu. So in more recent times, not very recent, but in the time of Rav Levi Yitzchak Miberditcher, so the maisa goes that he was, it was a slichus night, and he saw Shemayim, that there is a kitrug, there's a kitrug on Klal Yisrael, and he said, it says, you know, problem up there in Shemayim. The tefillahs are not being accepted, and so he decided to walk around Berditchev and maybe can pick up on something, you know, what's going on. So he's walking around, and he happened to wander to the very poor neighborhood, and these old shacks, you know, for houses. And he saw, he couldn't believe it, out of one of these houses, a light was shining through, and it wasn't like a Pashto light, it looked like a light of Kedusha, you know, coming through the window. So he says, whoa, you know, I got to check this out. So he knocks on the door, and this woman opens the door, takes one look at it, turns white, starts crying, which is understandable. Why? Because in those days, when the Rav would knock on your door, something's wrong. You know, he's coming to give you mussar, you know, rebuke you about something. He doesn't come knocking, can I have a cup of coffee? You know, he wants to... So she saw, you know, oh no. So she started crying, and she says, Rebbe, it's okay. I already suffered for my sin. I suffered for my sin. It's okay. I suffered. I got punished already. I received my own ish. So Rebbe said, what's going on here? You know, what do you mean? What? So she tells him her story. It says, when I was 17 years old, a young girl, and both of my parents were nifter. I was left all alone, and I didn't know how I was going to survive. I, you know, needs to make a parnasa, whatever. So my parents, they had a dairy, a machleva, whatever, you know, with a few cows, where they milk the cows, whatever. And they rented this little dairy from the paritz, the local paritz, goy. Anyway, so I decided, well, I'll try my luck. You know, I knew a little bit of the business from my parents. I figured maybe I'll try my hand in it. So I went to the paritz, and I... You know, asked them, could you please rent, continue renting the place out to me? I'd like to, you know, see what I can do. So the parit said to me, listen, he says, I'll make a deal with you. He says, I'll rent out the dairy, you know, the place for you, for half price. On the condition, though, that I can touch your hair. And as he said that, he kind of took a swipe at her hair and just like nicked, just like touched her hair. Anyway, that's all she needed. She broke down. She ran to her house. She was crying all night. She woke up the next morning. She cut off all her hair. And she left this town, which was outside of Berdichev, a small town. She ran away. And she went to Berdichev, the town. And she got a job working as a maid or whatever in somebody's house. And she lived like that until the family that she was staying by and working by decided that, you know, she has to get married. And they married her off to a poor orphan also. And they ended up living in this shack where she is now. And not only that, her husband died young. So now again, she was now an almana, in a poor almana in this old shack or whatever. And so the Rebbe said, well, what did you do with your hair that you shaved off? She says, what did I do with my hair? So I'll tell you, I took all my hair and I burnt it. I burnt it because, you know, the goy touched it. So I burnt all my hair except one lock, right? One curl. I didn't burn. I saved that. And I keep this curl on me. He says, you know what, Rebbe? He says, every time or any time I feel that, you know, what's going on? It's terrible matzav. I have nothing. I have this, I have that. And I have complaints. Negative Kodesh Baruch Hu. Or I want to complain negative Kodesh Baruch Hu. I pull out this lock of hair and I look at it and I said, no, Hashem, you were right. So he heard this. He left the house and he turned to Shammai. He said, Ribono Shel, take all your cut, you know, all your mekatrigim and all your sins, whatever, put them all on one side of the scale, and put this one curl of this woman on the other side of the scale, and that curl will machriya the scale. That's yirichet. The pasuk says, pasuk yud beis, that Yaakov said, "Pen yavo v'ikani aim habani abanim." He's worried that Esau's going to come and strike him. Aim albanim. So they asked, "What's the Russian aim albanim? The mother with the children? Which mother? I mean, there were more than one mother. It was Rachel, Leah, the Arba, maybe Imahot or whatever. Why the aim albanim?" So they say that, yeah, the Paneach Raza says the Yaakov Avinu. It's think about it. Here he was. He stole, first of all, he took, you know, bought the Bechor from Esav, which Esav wasn't so happy about. Then he stole his brachas from him, which he wasn't so happy about. And now what? Here he came to Haran, because they asked the Kasha. If Yaakov Avinu came to Haran, right, and Laban had two daughters, you know, Leah and Rachel, well, why didn't he, what was wrong with Leah? Well, I want to work for your daughter, Rachel. Why Rachel? Leah wasn't a tzaddikah. No, not a tzaddikah. Well, what? He said, I mean, Pasha Lachashim, he says, Leah, you know, like the Midrash says, the older son to the older daughter, younger son to the younger daughter, that Esav was really miwad for Leah. So he says, can you imagine if I'm going to marry Leah? I took his bechor, I took his bracha, is not going to take his wife? He says, forget it, you know, I'm finished. So he said, no, I'm staying far away from Leah, no thank you, whatever. And that's why he wants to marry Rachel. Except he ended up marrying Leah, whatever. So Mele, he says, that's what Yaakov Avinu was saying. Penyavo v'hikani aim, who's the aim? Leah. He was worried that what's going to be, he's going to approach Esav, he's going to see, what? You're married to Leah? Leah's supposed to be mine, I don't believe it. You're the Bechor, and the Brachas, and now Leah, forget it. So he's going to hikani aim albanim, because of the mother, meaning Leah, he's going to kill me. That's what he's worried about. It says in the Pasuk Kavzayin, Yaakov Avinu has the fight with the angel, the Sarah Shel Esav, and the angel finally says to him, at the end, Shalcheini ki ala shachar. He says, okay, let me go, free me, because it's morning time. So Rashi says that he said, you got to let me go, because I have to say Shira. It's morning, and I got to say Shira now in the morning. So the question is asked, why did the Malach, you know, have such bad timing? You know, he knows when he has to say Shira. He knows he has to, you know, wrestle with Yaakov. So why didn't he make a cheshbon? Look, you know, the morning is at, you know, whatever, 5:30, okay, lal shachar, so I'm gonna fight a half hour, 45 minutes, okay, so I'll start at 4:30, you know, fight me on the safe side, and you know, I'll be able to go. Now, why was he like, you know, caught off guard? Why didn't he make a better cheshbon before he starts fighting with Yaakov? So the son named Rav Tzvi Rotberg, Shlita, he says that answer is based on another Rashi. It says that Ve'yizrach lo shemesh, that the sun came up, and Rashi says that the sun came up to cure Yaakov, right? Because he got hit in the leg, whatever, and he needed the sun was a refuah for him. So the sun came up to cure him, and Rashi says the sun came up miara, came fast. Why did it come fast? Because Yaakov needed a refuah, and the world was missing some time. Why? Because back when, right, Parshas Vayetze, when the Yaakov Avinu came by the Makom Migdash, Hashem put Yaakov to sleep. You know, he had the dream. So what happened over there? Hashem brought the sun down. So the world was missing some hours over there, right? The sun set quickly. So now, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to make up the time difference, brought the sun up early in order to, after he wrestled with the angel, so he should have a cure. But Mela, that answers the question, right? The Malach had the cheshbon good. He knew, I have an hour to fight, and then I'll also shock or whatever. But all of a sudden, Kodesh Baruch Hu, he made the sun come up early. He was caught off guard. He goes, now let me go, because I got to say Shira. One last remez. Says, so after this, the fight with the angel, says, Al-Kain, the Pasuk says, Lo yochlu b'nei Yisrael as gina nashe ara yamazeh. So because of what happened, that b'nei Yisrael doesn't need to gina nashe until this day. So the Midrash says that the word es gina nashe is the rabos tisha b'av. Obvious, Pasha the Midrash, right? Tisha b'av, what's that to tisha b'av? So the Kedis Yitzchak says the following. It says there's a remez over here in this pasuk to the fast days that we have, the Meitzom, that we fast for the Churban. Okay, what's the remez? So first of all, it says Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael. That's the fast day. Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael. And Gid Hanasheh. Hanasheh is the same letters as Hashanah. So Lo Yochlu in the year there's few times in the year where we lo yochle, we don't eat because of the churban. What are they? Gid. So gimel is gimel tishrei, some gedalia. Okay. Yud, asara is yud, is 10, asara betavis. And gimel yud dalit altogether is 17. That's yud zayin betamuz. So what are we missing? Tisha b'av. And therefore, it says Lo Yochlu B'nei Yisrael Es Gidanashe. Aleph Taf is Tisha Av, Tisha B'Av. So that's the Aleph Taf is the Rabbos Tisha B'Av. The Shem, we should see the fast days turn into Yemei Sasa B'Simcha, B'Vias Gold Tzedek.